Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
So do I have to thank God before God will protect me? No, he doesn't do that. He will protect you. Consider the lilies. He said, secondly, consider the lilies. Do you know where the lilies are coming from? If you go to the Holy Land, and God gave me the privilege of going there, you will see fields of them. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Some of the fields, you see sunflower deliberately grown. I mean, you can't see the end of it. Beautiful. You know, the Jewish people, and they are Greek. Beautiful. Jesus said, I'm sure he was standing by some of those fields. He said, look at them. Look at the lilies. How they grow. How they grow. Do you know how they grow? They grow, listen carefully to me. They grow by being in the soil. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 27. So that some of you understand, I'm not speaking my words, but inspired words. Consider the lilies, how they grow. The question is that, what should we consider about the lilies? He says, consider how they grow. How does the lily grow? By remaining in the earth. Is it a wonderful earth? No. I'm sure you know that this earth is cursed. It's not just the curse of the law he delivers us from by his love, but the curse of even the fall, where God cursed the earth for man's sake, not cursed man, because he loves man too much. He will not curse man. He will curse the earth for the sake of man, so that man will know that the earth doesn't have any good thing for him, and man will turn to God. The curse on the earth is to help man to find God. Because the devil had taken over the rulership of this earth, and God cursed the thing that he was ruling over, so that man will not be deceived to think that the devil is a wonderful devil, when the earth is yielding everything the way that it should yield. Says, I consider the lilies, how they grow. How do they grow? They are in a cursed place, but God takes care of them. Cursed lilies, how they grow. They are cursed. Their mothers were cursed. I hope you know that. Because through pollination they grow. And their mothers, who pollinated them, I should say, or allow me to say that, they were cursed. And their mothers were cursed. And their mothers were cursed. How they grow. From a cursed earth, they are so nice in such a way that he says that Solomon, the richest king up to now, the richest of the kings up to now, is not clothed like one of these. And they are living in a cursed earth. How dare you rule yourself and say that there is a curse. Don't be deceived by anybody. The love of God delivers us from curses and gives you clothing and gives you cars and gives you buildings and makes you do well and helps your spiritual life. You thrive in the midst of a cursed earth. How can it be? It is only love. It is only love that does not know any condition, that the earth is cursed. Unconditional love is a love that is going to thrive, that is going not to be overcome, even by the condition of a curse, by the condition of a sin, by the condition of whatever murder that you have committed. The love of God is stronger than death. Read the books of Songs of Songs. The Bible says that love is stronger than death. Love is stronger than curses. The love of God that he gives unto us. The love of God that we must understand and have a revelation of. It delivers us from curses. And that deliverance is a permanent deliverance. It's not a deliverance that you must take your hair to everybody in the world. That you must go and talk your problem to everybody in the world. Everybody knows your issue in your marriage. Everybody knows your issue about your family. Which family has not got any issue, including that man of God's family? Yours may even be better. You just have to know that the love of God is the thing that God needed to overcome sin, to overcome the derivatives of sin, like sickness, like poverty, everything. Ladies and gentlemen, that came as a derivative of sin in the Garden of Eden. It is only one thing: the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and friendship. That is what must be with you. If you know the love of God, it is so strong that you don't even die, you fall asleep. You don't get sick, you are healed, but sickness is trying to attack you. You are not a sinner, you are the righteousness of God who has sent. It doesn't make you a sinner. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. The love of God is that which we need. This love, which is unconditional, not based upon whether he's living in America, because you see, America is a very nice place and Europe is a very nice place. I mean, it's very nice in Dubai and all those kind of nice places, South Africa, and the love of God will be shown to you in that place so that you do well, because there are no witches after you. There are no demons who are there. Who told you that? It's wonderful. The love of God doesn't know any condition. He can go looking out for you, caught by your horn in the thicket. He will go and pick you up, and he will not scold you. He will make you a king, put you, carry you on his shoulder. The gospel is a gospel of grace. The Apostle Paul put a curse on anybody who would take people from the grace of Christ into another gospel. Because anything that is not any gospel, any good news, any word of God that is not the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit is another gospel. It is another gospel. He said to the church in Galatia, I'm surprised at you. Let's look at Galatia. The book of Galatians, chapter 1, and then verse what? Galatians chapter 1, and then verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to another gospel. Another gospel is a gospel that is not the grace of Christ. That is not the love of God. That is not the friendship of the Holy Spirit. That is another gospel. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is what I'm talking to you about. It is the cornerstone of the kingdom of God. Because the Bible says that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness. First, Colossians 1, verse 12 and 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who has translated us from the kingdom of darkness and delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, or the son of his love. The kingdom is a kingdom of love. Can we all say that? Say, the kingdom of love is the kingdom in which I am. It's wonderful. The hallmark, the identification mark of the kingdom of God, you must know, is the kingdom of his dear son. The Greek word that is translated dear is the word agape. Pick any Bible dictionary. The Greek word that is translated the kingdom of his dear son is the word agape. Is the kingdom of his agape son. Jesus is the son of God's unconditional love. He came to show us the love of God, because he is a product of the love of God. He is a son of unconditional love. Hallelujah. And that is the kingdom in which you are. It's a kingdom of his dear son, of his agape son, the identification mark of believers is not success, it's not cars, it's not buildings, it's not projects, it's not leadership, it's not the number of followership that you have, it is not organization, it is not fame, it is not anointing. The thing that identifies us is love. John chapter 13, 33 to 34 says that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have agape, if you love one another as I have loved you. Not if you love one another as you love yourself. That belongs to the old. Yes, it is in the Bible, I know. But when Jesus Christ came, he said, you have heard it said, but I say to you, says that if you are not ashamed of me and of my words, I will also not be ashamed of you when I come in my glory. Because sometimes the words of Jesus, it looks like shameful. That love, what? Love. It looks like it's not, it doesn't fall to reason. It should be something justice from logic and all that. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, the love of God, this agape love, this kingdom love is shared in our hearts and it is rooted through our will. I'll say it again. It is shared abroad by the Holy Ghost. Your nature will not give you unconditional love. The human nature will resist unconditional love. It will let you look out for your friends and also be a friend to them. It will not be a friend to your enemies in the sense that Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Hallelujah. If we are going to obey the word of our Lord Jesus in the church of the Lord, I believe that we are going to see him coming very soon for us. Hallelujah. Because we are not in his stature yet. His stature, do you know the stature is love? Break Jesus into two. Open him up. You will see grace. You see love. Filled with love. Filled with grace. Filled with friendship. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. He wants us to show to people his love. How do we do that? By knowing that he loves us. Says that by this men will know that you are my disciples. He said in John chapter 17, if they know that you love them, the world will believe that you sent me. Let me show that thing to you. Because sometimes we obey every human word about getting people born again except what Jesus Christ said. Look at what he said in his high priestly prayer in the book of John chapter 17 and then verse 21. That they may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. How will the world believe on Jesus? He tells us how they will believe. They will believe when my people are one. When my people love themselves the way that the Father is in me, the Father loves Jesus with agape. You understand that? He is agape love. I've just gone through teaching you that. How will the world believe? It is not by our saying a lot of things on the FM. It is in the background, the depths of our oneness, the depths of our love, that the world will believe. The gospel, preaching the gospel, getting people born again, it's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual battle that brings in spiritual principles. Jesus said, how will the world believe? It depends on you, believers. That is why he said that whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiving them. As for me, on the cross, I said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. You have to forgive. when we walk in love, ladies and gentlemen, there is a spirit. Oh, I don't know how to describe it. There is a spirit that is with us in that sense. That makes the world believe. And then we see that, oh, it is not our strength at all. Because by the strength of man shall nothing prevail. It is only when we give respect to his word that the Holy Ghost, that we pray anointing for whatever thing we want to do. Holy Ghost came to glorify Jesus. Why will he not glorify his word? That when we are one and we love ourselves the way that the triune God are full of love, then the world will believe that God was sent by Jesus. Why are we struggling too much? Because there is this element that the devil will take away from us so that we lose focus on what is the main thing. The hallmark of the kingdom is love. The kingdom is the kingdom of the Son of his agape. There is no way you can put aside agape. First Corinthians 8:3. The Bible says that if anybody loves God, the same is known by him. How do you love God? Because you know that he loves you. You cannot love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with everything that you have, and your neighbor as yourself. You cannot do it. How many people could do the summation of the law, which is love, loving God with all your heart and your neighbor and all that? Who could do it? Otherwise, why should Jesus come? Why should he abrogate the first covenant and say that I am doing a new covenant? I will, because I know that in their strength, they cannot. The flesh is so weak, they cannot live holy lives. I will stand in their stead. Thank God for Jesus. I will do it for them and credit it to their account, because they cannot do it themselves. That is the cross for us. That is the grace of Christ for us. Undeserving. He didn't do righteous, but he was made sin. We didn't do righteous. No, he didn't do sin, but he was made sin. We didn't do righteous, and we are made righteous. If you believe that Jesus Christ was made sin, believe that you are the righteousness of God in him. It's all a spiritual thing.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Look at the same chapter 17. There is the last prayer he prayed for his church, apostles, everybody, before he left. He knew he was going, and they needed this. Verse 23, now, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me. He is repeating himself, that unbelievers may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. How will unbelievers know the love of God? When we love one another, we are one. How do we love one another? When we know that God loves you. Because when you know that God loves you so much that he has forgiven your past sins, your generational sins, how can God forgive your past sins? And you believe that some past sin is generating a generational curse in your present. If you know he has forgiven your past sin, your present sin, and your future sin once and for all on the cross, then when your brother does something, disrespects you, treats you like you, minimizes you, treats you like you are not anointed, treats you like you have not helped the person before, people can treat you like that. I'll teach you about the cost of love. Because this thing is very costly. Agape costed Jesus. Agape will cost you buildings. Agape will cost you your investment. I tell you, they will wipe away. Agape can cost you your beloved car, in whom you are well pleased. If it costed God a son, you don't want to pay any price, but you want to walk in that same land that he walked in. Have you forgotten that when he was walking in it, he paid a dear price? Some of you are not paying any price because you are not walking in that love. When you are walking in that love, people are going to misuse your name. People are, didn't they do it to God? Misusing his name even up to now. Because of what? Because he loves them. Taking God for granted because he loves them. You don't want anybody to take you for granted. You are always holy and perfect, and every fault is coming from somebody apart from you. When God took the fault on himself, and he said, the reproaches of those who reproach you, it fell on me. When he said, punish me for their sin, although I don't know any sin. And Jesus was naked, and Jesus was spat upon. Nobody has spat upon you before. You protect your reputation in such a way, you don't want to get close to somebody who gets under your skin, because he may misuse your name. So you become very protective and very suspicious. There is no oneness in the church because we don't know the kind of love that God loved us with. It is the kind that costed him. Let me teach you about sacrifice and later about sacrament. Sacrifice is from the word sacred. When we talk about God sacrificing his son, it means that his son was in a sacred place. He was in a holy place. He had a holy position. He had a holy royal status. And he left it and came to a sinful, putrefying, degraded vomit of the earth. He came and walked among us, lived among us, and he never for once tried to tell us that we were. No, he said, come unto me. He left it. Sometimes we are in competition with Jesus. The reason I love my Jesus so much is because what he did. I don't care the kind of sacrifice. You may sacrifice your job. That job is not holy. That job is not royal. That job is not like the one Jesus sacrificed. What we sacrifice, the little money, unrighteous mammon, he sacrificed heaven, holiness, sinlessness. That is sacred. That is why his body becomes a sacrament for us. There is something about it. There is something mysterious about it. There is something spiritual about it, because it's not sacrifice. Many people were crucified before Jesus Christ was. It was something that I should say, maybe every year they were crucifying people. It was there. What is the difference between Jesus' one and then the other people who are even crucified up till now, who are sacrificing their blood up till now, ministers, sacrificing up till now? The difference is that we only sacrifice what is human, what has no value, so to speak. He sacrificed the highest value. That is why his death on the cross is the best expression. We can't get close to it. Every one of our sacrifices, they are subsumed in it. He drowns it. It is nothing. That is why when all is said and done, and you have fasted, and you have prayed, and you have done everything, you don't say, Pastor, I got it by my hard work, by my good Christian life. Because what he did, it makes yours pale out, so that you don't even talk about what you did. You can only talk about the overwhelming love He showed us. The Father's love is what I'm teaching you. The Father's love. Talking about the Heavenly Father's love. We can't pick a name like Father on our heads and not live this love out. Because the only thing about the Father that God wants us to know is the love of God. The only thing about Jesus that God wants, that it is with us. Why should it be with us? Because we will need it all the time. It's not. I've explained it to those of you who were in the beginning. It is the grace of Jesus. A revelation of His grace. Let me end. Let me show you something in the book of John. And let's get going. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And then verse 11. I'm going to kill some sacred cow right now. I'm going to kill some cows that people have built things upon, but which is not according to the scriptures. Because, ladies and gentlemen, in the kingdom arrangement that Jesus Christ brought for us, He so loves us that He does things for us. He gives us the grace even to believe Him. And after we have believed Him, He says that it's not me who have done it for you. It's your grace that has done it for you. Look at the book of John chapter 6. And then verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves. Popular story of feeding of the 5,000. Jesus took the loaves. And when He had given thanks, He distributed them to the disciples. And the disciples to those sitting down. And likewise of the fish. As much as they wanted. Underline that. He gave them food as much as they wanted. I know you. I know you are so religious. You see that? You see, even somebody will talk to you right now. You tell the person, God gave it to you according to His will. God will give it to you. Maybe His will is that you have one shirt. You see? And maybe His will is that you have... No. Do you know the significance of this miracle? John calls it a sign. A sign is that it's showing you a message. God does for us as much as we want. We limit God to the capacity that we can handle. Look at the next verse. What does it say? And when they were filled, He said, gather the fragments. He only took the bread away when they didn't have any more capacity. When they were filled. When their hunger was satisfied. Because God so loves you. You just have to build capacity. Mental capacity. Expand your mind. God will fill it. Open your mouth wide. God will fill it. Open your life. God will fill it. He is unlimited. His love is unlimited. His provision. He doesn't give you 10 when you need 10. He gives you 20 when you need 10. That is not my God. My God gives and gives abundantly. More than you want. You say, what do I do with the rest? That is His nature. He gives you, not one, when you ask for one, He gives you as much as you want. With long life, He will satisfy you. No devil can kill you. The power of life and death is in your tongue. It's not even under God, so to speak. It's not in the devil's hand. Some of you are sick, small, the devil tells you are going to die. No, you will not die.
Amen.
It is in your mouth. Who loves life and want to see good days, you should keep his lips. Because it's in your tongue. You will not die like the devil is trying to make you the thing. No, you will live. It came to give you life. Hallelujah. And He came to give you as much as you would. Not as much as His will is. As much as you want. If you want more, He told David, I gave you all these blessings. If the wise were not enough, I would have given you more, because He satisfies us. Oh, what a love. No more should you point any hands at God and say that God, maybe is not your will. Ladies and gentlemen, I came to tell you that God is not a stingy God. He's not withholding that blessing from you. There is something that must give inside you. He said, Pastor, I'm willing. There is a point that you know that you are not willing. But he will give you as much as you want. As much as you want. And when you are filled, you say stop. Bring, borrow vessels. When it's full, stop. If it's more, flow. If it's more, flow. What a God. He's telling us, your faith, you are in charge. On those earth, say, let us make man in our image. Let them have dominion. Not let me have dominion. So on those earth, Jesus is performing a miracle. He has to limit himself to the people who have dominion here. He's omnipotent. The thing could have flowed and flowed and flowed. But there are some people who have the authority. He has the power. We have the authority here on earth. That's why he can't let his power invade this place without our permission, because we have the authority. He made us his regent. We are kings under him. And as we go, he goes. We are his righteousness. As we enter wrong places, right things must enter into that place. God bless you.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.